want them dead.
Chicago.
I want them dead.
He pulls a knife.
Who's the U-boat commander?
He pulled a gun.
Hi, dudes.
That's nasty, Wyatt.
That's Chet, Gary.
Now, Dustin Kaufman presents the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. Bueller.
Tell me your children.
Thanks, Dove. Welcome to the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match here on WGN Radio. We've been talking about this for weeks, and it is here. Our quest to find the best Chicago movie of all time. We started with 64 films and let the WGN Radio staff vote on the first two rounds. To get us to this point, it is now time for the Sweet 16. Over the next couple weeks, we will bring you matchups of Chicago movies. Call in, you text, you vote online for your favorite. Really make a case for why it's the best, and the winners will move on, and the losers will go home. We will have the advocates for each of the 16 movies in studio to duke it out, and tonight is no exception. Our first matchup is True Blue Chicago. In the Maxwell Street division, the number one seeded Blues Brothers will take on the number four seeded Uncle Buck, Belushi, Aykroyd, and the Illinois Nazis, Hughes, Candy, and a young Macaulay Culkin. Blues Brothers shows us Southside Churches, Maxwell Street, and Lower Wacker Drive, versus Uncle Buck that shows us Richards and La Scarola and a Chicago bowling alley, and of course the patented North Shore backdrop that made John Hughes famous. It really is heart versus soul.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
That's a pretty stupid thing to do during flu season.
I bet she's getting a tongue.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
First you trade the Cadillac for a microphone. Then you lie to me about the band. Now you're gonna put me right back in the joint.
They're not gonna catch us. We're on a mission from God.
312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you tonight on why you think either Blues Brothers or Uncle Buck should move on. In studio tonight, the rep to Blues Brothers is none other than Chicago poet and Lumpin' Radio host Mario Smith. Mario, yeah. Good to see you.
All right.
And advocating for Uncle Buck, the owner of La Familia Green Greeting Cards and the co-host of Pete and Molly Save Christmas, Molly Green. Yeah. All right.
This isn't fair, man. She's one of the nicest human beings on earth. How can I be in a cage match?
She's not that nice. It's going to be a cage match time.
All right, so
why did you want Blues Brothers, Mario?
Oh, my. Why not? It is the movie to introduce everyone to Chicago, what Chicago used to look like, what it used to sound like. It is an amazing piece of Chicago history and American history. It's a tribute to the city. There are so many things looking at it now that aren't here anymore. Navy Pier looks different. Just everything it's an amazing document of what Chicago used to be and what it still is in a lot of respects.
Okay, and Molly, you stood up quick and said, I want Uncle Buck. You didn't even want any other movie. You said Uncle Buck. Why Uncle Buck?
I love Uncle Buck. I know I'm not alone in this. It's beloved. But I moved to Chicago from Texas when I was in high school in 1995. And we moved to the suburbs to a huge high school. And I said, John Hughes was right. This is what it is. And that experience, my high school experience was, and I feel like it's, you know, 24 years later is still the same. So I feel like Uncle Buck really captures the experience of going to high school in Chicago. Now, a very privileged one. A very white privileged experience.
The character Bug resonates with you.
I had a huge crush on Jay Underwood. We went through his whole filmography that I loved, Not Quite Human and The Boy Who Could Fly.
Oh, he's in The Boy Who Could Fly. Okay.
But it's a good combination of city living versus suburban living.
Yeah. Well, today you can vote on this because today we put up a poll, and we're going to do this every day for the Sweet 16. But we got to put a poll and we put it on the WGN Facebook page. So if you're listening, you want to go there and put your vote in, you can. It's there. And right now the poll numbers are favoring Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers, as we look at the numbers, there's over about 175 votes.
Wow.
And right now, Blues Brothers is in a commanding lead. But that doesn't matter. This is not data-driven. It's not the concept that we say, oh, you know, whoever got the most, you know, we want to get out of the bot culture. The concept is really to make a persuasive argument onto why this movie should move on. And right now, we have two of the right people to do so. And we have people on the phones, 312-981-7200. Why don't we start there, Pete, before we hit the break? Let's get Tom and also Trucker Rich in to see what they think to start this off. So let's start with Tom. Tom, you like Blues Brothers or you like Uncle Buck?
Oh, clearly Blues Brothers. Uncle Buck's a nice little movie, and I like John Candy, but this is a classic, Chicago classic. And you've got the Aretha Franklin, you've got Ray Charles, the music is outstanding, the church scene is outstanding, the country and western rolling, there's so many, and then they go through the mall on the south side. Some deserted mall, but it wasn't deserted.
Harvey, right?
Harvey, Illinois, Dixie Mall. Dixie Shop is...
There you go.
Yes.
And we're on a mission from God. The penguin is there. I mean, it touches all the bases.
It's all there.
They've got the suburban police, the Wakanda police or something. And so anyway, I can't... The music, Aykroyd and Belushi are outstanding.
All right.
So.
All right, so that's a vote for Blues Brothers. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for calling up on that one. Let's go to Trucker Rich. Trucker Rich, do you like Blues Brothers or Uncle Buck?
I prefer Uncle Buck.
Yay.
All right, so why?
It's more of like a family bonding movie, and I can kind of, situate myself with it because I've had nieces and nephews that I haven't met before, and, you know, it's kind of like getting to know your family. And even though they consider him like a down and outer, mm-hmm. he's really got a giant heart.
Right.
Versus the Blues Brothers. The Blues Brothers is like a, like a tourist advertisement, yeah. I guess you'd say.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Rich. Sure. Appreciate that, yeah. man.
Thanks, Trucker Rich.
Thanks, Trucker Rich. There we go. All right. So the callers have called in 312-981-7200. Couldn't have been better in the fact that we got our first two calls and they are opposite.
Yeah.
Well. Molly Green and Mario Smith are with us. We'll take our break here. We'll come back and we'll get their arguments on why you should vote for either Blues Brothers or Uncle Buck tonight on the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. We are in the middle now. We're in it. We started it. And Molly Green and Mario Smith are here to, they're in the cage. We erected a cage. It is the Chicago Movie Cage Match. There's a cage in studio. 312-981-7200. Tonight, Uncle Buck versus Blues Brothers. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to hear the pro arguments. Then we'll hear some against arguments. Coming up in the second half. But right now, let's start with Uncle Buck. Molly, you advocated for Uncle Buck, and I want to get into why you choose this. Why should this movie move on to be the top eight, to the elite eight in our movie challenge?
To me, it feels like real Chicago culture more than Blues Brothers, where Blues Brothers is just completely over the top. Unrelatable.
She goes right to the negative. You see that? Yeah, politicians.
I'm listening.
Uncle Buck just feels right. And it's so, I don't know, it's so comfortable to watch. And Blues Brothers is so, is so the opposite of that.
All right, so let me ask you a couple of questions. So what is the best scene in Uncle Buck? What's the memorable takeaway from Uncle Buck?
I feel like the whole movie is kind of all best scenes strung together.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
But, I think, like, the assistant principal scene is...
That's the one with
the iconic yeah. one. Yeah. But I love the bowling alley scene with Pal. And,
Pal is the guy who with the toothpick.
Yeah.
Who's the uncle who
earns his... Tia.
He's hitting on Tia, and then John Candy
daughter.
Comes over. Right.
He says, don't you have a game going somewhere, Pal? John Candy knows all the people at the bowling alley. And then I also love when they torture Bug... the Jay Underwood character at the end when he and Tia get their revenge.
The scene in the bowling alley, and that's that I think sums up why Uncle Buck is so good, is because he is doing what I think is what makes the heart of this movie, which is he is at a adult experience, right? Mm-hmm. And he brings the kids there to have family night, and he is helping the little girl. The ball hits the pin, and she goes,
cares about
he cares about it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, he's got his eye out for the teenage daughter. But it's like it shows a little bit more about the character John Candy's playing in Uncle Buck.
Yeah, and he's not dumbing himself down for them. He's still doing what he would want to do and experience in it, and bringing them into that experience. Even the beginning where he assumes that they're going to come and stay with him at his apartment by Wrigley Field.
Yeah, right. That's where things are good. Okay, so let's also ask, you know, we talked about the best lines. We heard some of the lines. Obviously, the quarter line sticks out in Uncle Buck as I can go, here's a quarter, go find a rat and all that thing.
I think Macaulay Culkin steals the show in the one-liners, and Gabby Hoffman too, the little kids. And so the story is that this was made a year before Home Alone, and so Macaulay Culkin's interrogation scenes with John Candy and with Amy Madigan is what gave John Hughes the idea for Home Alone. He's got, you know, he has those lines, you know, the interrogation scenes like you guys played, but then he has great one-liners when Tia's waiting for her boyfriend and he comes downstairs and says, "Waiting for your sex." And
my son pointed out by watching Home,
he's cooking the garbage.
Yeah, Uncle Buck and Home Alone. He goes, "Oh man, Macaulay Culkin just—he's really good at playing a jerk."
Yes,
and you kind of look at it, you're like the beginning of Home Alone, and a little bit in Uncle Buck. Yeah. You're like, he's not as adorable, like precocious that we all remember. There is this like
an edge to him.
Yeah, I mean, for a different argument, but Home Alone, he's up in that room for a reason, and he says, "I wish all my family would go." Like, he's not a good kid, like at the beginning of that film. But it is. I digress. I just thought that was interesting.
The questioning of John Candy is brilliant.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so how representative of Chicago is Uncle Buck?
Like I said, it really gives me the feeling of the North Shore suburban experience versus living in the city. And it has a couple of great Chicago actresses in it, Laurie Metcalf and Amy Madigan. And I know John Candy is not from Chicago. I'm aware of that, but He plays Chicago.
Yeah. He does really well. All right, so there you go. And then I would say, what about the music? Because John Hughes is always known for bringing an alternative soundtrack. Does Uncle Buck serve that up at all?
Well, I mean, this one is going to be hard to go up against Blues Brothers. It's an odd combination of like late 80s hip-hop, Tone Loc, and Young MC. Then kind of like Mr. Sandman, like sort of like 50s. Hits that. So I mean, I think that there's the 80s hip-hop, but then there's an old-fashionedness to Uncle Buck, to Buck Russell, and so that those like 50s songs, Tweedledee Dee, he sings Jukebox Baby,
and there and I would say at the end and loving on Uncle Buck as well. I mean, there's just something great about the end of Uncle Buck when you realize that he doesn't have a lot, and it's not unlike Plane, Trains, and it's kind of
it's
the same
like
vibe.
The same ending.
Yeah, it really is. But the idea that the family turns around and he showed this growth as a character makes Uncle Buck really kind of a relatable, almost tearjerker.
It's really touching, and the scenes with when the mom comes back and Tia's standing there, and that they all come together, understand each other.
All right, that's Uncle Buck. 312-981-7200. If you like Uncle Buck, now's the time to show your love for that. You can do it on text or on phones. But Mario Smith, you're here not for Uncle Buck. You're here for the front runner, Blues Brothers.
That's right.
So, all right, I'll ask you the same question. To explain why Blues Brothers should move on to the Elite Eight.
It is the movie that started this whole movie-making revolution in the city. It actually, the Chicago Film Office, I think, was created for this particular movie. It is the movie that Universal didn't want black people to see. It's the movie that they created a bar for the cast just so they could keep them all in one place because they were doing all kinds of crazy.
That was behind the across from Second City.
Yes, yeah, called Blues.
Right.
It's the movie that depicts the city at a time right before it changed. It's Mayor Burns' movie, right? It's got everything in it that you would want in a movie about a major city that doesn't make it phony. I mean, over the top campy, sure, because it's it's not, you know, come on, man.
It's a little bit of a parody.
Yeah, it's a parody.
It's a little bit. I mean, that's the idea of these two Southside guys who think they're musicians, and there is a little bit to almost the stereotype of a white Southsider at the time. Right?
Well, it's an extension of the characters that they played on SNL.
Right.
And that was really super successful. They didn't have to make a movie. They had an album that was hot. There was a point where John Belushi was on the number one TV show, had the number one album, and the number one movie.
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy. That doesn't happen. But it just makes Chicago, if you watch it, again, you have to, watching it then in a theater, watching it now, and just the difference in this city is mind-blowing. It's a great
Chicago. Okay, so let's get through some of these. What's the best scene in this film? It's hard to say.
Oh, my God. Which one, Justin Kaufman, do you want me to pick? Beginning, middle, end.
I think the Ray Charles scene or the Aretha Franklin scene are...
Those are iconic scenes. Iconic. Carrie Fisher with the blowtorch in the sewer is iconic.
The Illinois Nazis.
The Illinois Nazis flying off the bridge is one of my favorite scenes on any movie ever.
And a line... This is like the dumbest question ever, because they're stock questions for every movie, but when you're like, what are some of the best lines? I mean, Blues Brothers is probably the most quoted Chicago movie of all time.
The best line in the movie... is the, you know, it's 106 miles to Chicago. The most important line in the movie is the one he says over and over and over again, we're on a mission from God, because that is real. When you are in a moment and you're like, man, we got to do it. We're on a mission from God. That's it.
It's a really great
end.
The Ray Charles scene alone, the lines are really great. And
shot at the kid.
Shot at the
blind
kid.
Blind as a bat. Shot at the kid.
He shoots at the kid.
And the kid, like, I can't believe this blind man shot me and ran out. Yeah, that's great.
And so we talked about how representative this film was of Chicago, but the music plays. I mean, there really is this vibe that I didn't really pick up when I was a kid watching Blues Brothers, but it really is a celebration of black music because it's unbelievable the stars that are in this
movie. It is the only movie that had Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, John Lee Hooker, Chaka Khan, a young Chaka Khan.
In the church scene.
In the church scene.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
James Brown. Stop.
Cab Calloway
in one movie. And so many more people. Pine Top Perkins is in it. There's so many people in this movie. They're playing Otis Redding and all this great American music. The album is spectacular. It introduced me to Steve Cropper and Duck Dunn. Had no idea who they were. Been listening to them be the rhythm section for all that Memphis music forever. I mean, it's a great movie. Aretha Franklin
it's also
is in this movie.
It's a comedy, but at the same time, it's a musical comedy.
Yes.
The dance numbers and everything—it's really written and directed as a musical comedy. It's more in the form of what you know the ABBA type movies of today than it is just a straight ahead Saturday Night Live comedy.
Yeah. And actually, I'm sorry, Molly.
I felt like when I was watching it, it felt like I was watching Tommy or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a weird kind of. There's so many dance numbers.
Well, now one of the principal characters in the movie happens to be what's his name, John Candy.
He's principal killer. He does have
has a really
orange whip. Yeah.
Orange whip. Three orange. Come on. I want to watch these guys. He's sitting in there. Come on. The Blues Brothers all day.
All right. 312-981-7200. I got Dave on the line. I got the text coming in, and I'm going to get to all of that. We'll take our break here. We'll come back, and we will talk about why each one of you dislike the other movie or why the other movie should not move on. Molly Green and Mario Smith are here for the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. It's Blues Brothers versus Uncle Buck tonight on 720 WGN.
I want them dead.
Chicago.
I want them dead.
He pulls a knife.
Who's the U-boat commander?
You pull a gun.
Hi, dude.
That's nasty, why?
That's check here.
Now, Justin Kaufman presents the ultimate Chicago movie cage match.
Bueller.
Tell me your children.
Mario Smith and Molly Green are here advocating for Uncle Buck and Blues Brothers. 312-981-7200. Just a recap quickly. We got to the Sweet 16. We put together an NCAA-like bracket, 64 of the best Chicago movies. We let the WGN staff internally pick the first two rounds. And the consensus got us to the Sweet 16, and it starts tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll have our next matchup, which will be the movie Backdraft versus Adventures in Babysitting. But for right now, it is all about Blues Brothers and Uncle Buck. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in standby. He's actually in Las Vegas. Hey, Dave, which movie do you prefer?
Well, I prefer the Blues Brothers. I guess my favorite, there's so many favorite scenes in there, but, you know, when Ray Charles shot at the kid and says something like, go on, get, and he says, just breaks my heart to see the children going bad today. That just, that just is one that stands out. But the reason I called in is our local sports talk show out here is on KDWN 720 in Las Vegas, and their transmitter went dead. I was driving home from work listening to sports talk, and it went dead. And the next thing I know, I hear WGN coming through. I'm like, that's not Chicago. And
Las Vegas.
I start listening. I'm like, that is Chicago. And it's reaching Las Vegas because, again, they had a malfunction or something went wrong with their system.
So, I
just heard you describe your top 16 or whatever you're doing with the Chicago movies. I haven't been following that. I just thought I'd call in and say hello from Las Vegas because it actually got through due to a human error or malfunction. We'll take
listeners however we can get them, Dave. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah. I appreciate that.
WGN
there you go.
WGN is on a mission from God.
There it is.
There it is. All right. How about that? That's amazing. And it's so funny. You know, like you forget, and we kind of say at the beginning, Duffy just did a new intro for us. It's like 38 states and parts of Canada.
Yeah, man.
WGN.
Clear
so
channel.
This is, of course, the Chicago movie. But these are good movies. That's what's fun about this. These are the top 16 Chicago movies. And there's not a bad one in the bunch. We made sure of that. Let's go opposites now. This is where we get to the cage match part. We heard the pros from both of you about why you like Uncle Buck, why you like Blues Brothers, but let's flip the script. Molly, why don't we start with you? Why don't you like Blues Brothers? Why should Blues Brothers not be moving on?
Well, one thing I want to know is, because it's interesting, the guy from Las Vegas calling for it, is Blues Brothers as big of a deal outside of Chicago as it is here? Should a Chicago movie be beloved everywhere or just Chicago? Mm. So I watched Blues Brothers for the first time this weekend. I had never seen it. But I've seen every John Hughes movie a million times. And I did not enjoy it. I thought it was long and boring and ridiculous. And I thought they were jerks and that they just wrecked everything.
That's perfect. It's actually, you're not wrong.
It's
a very slow-paced movie. I watched it not too long ago, and the jokes even are set up in this weird...
I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to be a parody? It didn't do it for me.
So it didn't hit. Did you care to see the Aretha Franklin stuff and the John Lee Hooker? Did you go, oh, that's awesome?
Because they're not Chicago musicians, it felt weird and shoehorned in to me.
Wow. There's something to be said for that. Ah. I mean, they go to Maxwell Street, they walk into a diner, and it's Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin's not from Chicago. She has no connection to
Chicago. Well, she's so from Detroit.
Yeah.
So she's so from another
place. Same with Ray Charles. So you get this idea that, yes, these are more the sensations of the moment in 1980 that the Blues Brothers, meaning Belushi and Aykroyd, are famous, and they have a lot of famous friends that they can bring in, but they're not Chicago musicians. Now, that can't be... There's some that are Chicago musicians, but... Not really.
Well, the Chicago connection is, at one point or another, all of those musicians played the Regal. Yeah. Mic drop.
That's the connection?
Yes.
Well, I think everything
absolutely.
They all play Chicago.
Chicago's a big city.
They played the Regal Theater,
but every big African-American musician of the time is playing the Regal, so you can just say any of those.
Sorry, but they did it. I'm sorry they played it. They played the Regal. At one time or another, they all played the Regal.
Everything you said, I thought was great, but... I don't feel like that. What you said is why people love Blues Brothers. I think people love Blues Brothers because of like the graphic image of them, the black and white that people have like tattoos of, that radio stations drop the lines into everything. I don't think that you said that you watch it every 3 months. I think you're the outlier. I think people watched it when they were a kid and they think they still love it, but have they sat through it?
Existential.
Because all I hear is Uncle Buck conversations every day. People are going, we're on a mission from God. Oh, yeah, wasn't that an Uncle Buck? I remember that. Yeah, when they got through the bottles at him playing Rawhide. Wasn't that an Uncle Buck?
But
it was not.
Answering Molly's question before we move on to your attack of
Uncle Buck. Oh, it's going to be an attack too, Buster.
There is something to be said that almost the lines and the pop culture around the film are bigger than the film. The film isn't actually that good, that it's all of the moments in it that have been picked apart and used in drops and used as little clips on YouTube, whatever it might be. I'm a mission from the lines are pulled up. We're on a mission from God. But the actual story of the movie, of them trying to save the orphanage or the school and everything in it, does it hold up?
Yes. It does hold up. And the reason why it holds up is because you have to consider the time that the movie was made. It was the late 80s, correct? Not yep. late 80s,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
1980.
80. In 80, yeah, because I was still in... Anyway, I totally disagree with your assessment of the movie being bad. It was what it was supposed to be. It was an out-of-body experience with these two whimsical characters that had all this magical whimsy about them. And they were
and
able
drugs.
Hey. And they were able to do things that, you know, were incredible. Uncle Buck, that's nice. You know, oh, John Hughes movie in the suburbs, Uncle Buck. It's one thing about every John Hughes movie that everybody knows what it is. Nobody sounds like me in a John Hughes movie.
That's a okay, here's a question for you. Because yes. I read this on, I think it was on Wikipedia or something about Blues Brothers, that there was actually a boycott. That some film chains didn't want to show this movie in 1980 because it right. had black musicians and it was for a black audience, which I didn't realize that Blues Brothers was for a black audience.
The president of Universal did not want the film shown in chains that where white people could go see the movie for some reason.
I didn't realize that they were they going at was Blues Brothers like for African American audiences?
I think
that Aretha Franklin, James Brown, all that kind of stuff.
I think more Dan Aykroyd probably because and I based this on when House of Blues began. His mission was to promote the blues and to bring musicians of color back into the forefront and make them the story as opposed to being stolen from all the time, be it copyright or whatever. I wasn't old enough to know the backstory then, but now that I know a little bit more of the backstory, I would contend that what Aykroyd's intention was to do the same thing with the film, to really get these musicians. Because
they're due, right?
Aretha and James and those, and some of those were on the back end of their career, and it put them back into the spotlight.
You know, when you think about it, all of them were.
Yeah, for
Cab
the most
Calloway,
part, yeah, Cab
Ray
Calloway,
Charles. They were all famous in the 60s and 70s, and it was almost an ode to the music that they grew up listening to.
Well, if we take the John Landis parts and the Dan Aykroyd written parts out of it, it's really a very amazing musical document to have all these great musicians in it. But I think the story is pretty fantastic considering that this dude was in jail. Yeah. He's running from this woman that has been trying to kill him through the entire picture. His brother is just like,
and she's
know,
one of the only women in
yeah,
it,
right?
Too.
That's another thing. It's
one
all
of the
dudes.
Few.
Yeah.
One of the few. But Twiggy's also in it because she hits on Elwood at the gas station. Stop. Come on. Twiggy's in the movie. Really? We got to have this story and make it sound like the Blues Brothers was sucked. It wasn't that bad.
Well, and when you talk about the legacy, the what we really got... Okay, so Dan Aykroyd, his intentions were good, but what we really got was just him performing with other people filling in for Belushi and House of Blues becoming super cheesy.
Well, House of Blues not in the we have to stay on topic. The Blues Brothers movie, Jake and Elwood Blues, it served its purpose. It made every fat and skinny guy become a comedy team in every neighborhood in America. If you had a fat friend, you get a pork pie hat on him and some sunglasses and a suit.
That was his Halloween costume.
You guys could be.
And that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. It worked.
Well, Molly's point too is does Blues Brothers resonate outside of Chicago? Do people who live in who have no connection? And you heard Dave talking about he in Las Vegas. He loved Blues Brothers, but is there a bigger does Blues Brothers? Because it was, I think it still holds. As the behind Wayne's World, the number two SNL character inspired film ever produced.
Money-wise. Yeah, it holds up.
So, meaning that it at the box office. Mm-hmm. So, Blues Brothers is still viable as a top. I mean, think of all the movies that have come from SNL characters.
That it's still being shown and making.
Yeah, but even it just overall, the overall money made from that film is still, I think, in the top three. I think it goes Wayne's World, Blues Brothers, Wayne's World 2. Like, that's the idea.
It also made $112 million or something. Yeah. I mean, yeah, people outside of Chicago dug the Blues Brothers a lot.
All right, so let's we have
oh, this cage
I think we caged it up a little bit and poked some holes in the number one seed Blues Brothers.
I can keep going. I have more things.
You're gonna have to bring them out because here comes Mario with Blues Brothers. So when you're thinking about Uncle Buck.
No.
And you're in the cage now.
Yeah.
Why should Uncle Buck not move on?
The weakest of all the John Hughes movies. Set not in Chicago.
What about Curly Sue?
Well, that was pretty bad. You know that was really bad. Curly Sue was awful. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah. The second weakest of all the John Hughes movies. His... I have always had an issue with John Hughes and his vision of Chicago versus the suburbs. And I understand the suburbs are a real thing, and he does make the suburbs look super lovely. Home Alone, Breakfast Club, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, his neglect of the city is just something that irks me. And Uncle Buck, although a strong vehicle for John Candy, and it introduced the world to the lovable yet jerky Macaulay Culkin, it's just not a good movie.
You don't think it's a good movie?
No. It's a very, very sweet film, you know, and it's a heart tugger and tear jerker.
There is something to be said, and picking up on what you're going with here, that Uncle Buck does kind of put down the city in the film. Like, he's a little bit rough around the edges. He lives by Wrigley Field. He's at the bowling alley. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a sinner.
Like a stereotype.
Yeah, he's a stereotype sinner in the city, you know, and then he's going out there with his crappy car, and, you know, everything about it is Chicago's bad, but, you know, he's going out to the angelic suburbs.
But I think what's represented, even though that may not be accurate, that's how people in where this, so this movie was filmed around the corner from my parents' house in Evanston, and I feel like that people who live in that neighborhood, that's how they feel about the city.
But see, that's a very bad characterization of Chicago. And I, since I got all the Chicago crap on me, I have to I can't. No. No way. The Blues Brothers, if Uncle Buck is the representative movie of the suburbs, particularly the northern shore of our great fair enclave, it's a poor movie to represent it. So you could have did better, John Hughes. I'm sorry, is John Hughes still with us?
No, John Hughes has passed on.
John Hughes into the grave, dude. Good job. Sorry.
Well, I mean, there's so let's John Hughes. Do you see it as one of John Hughes' weaker films?
I don't. I think it's not my favorite John Hughes film.
Thank you.
I think that another John Hughes film needs to win the whole thing, and I'll do everything I can to make sure that Blues Brothers does not take down Ferris Bueller.
He's got Ferris Bueller and Home Alone as well.
So I feel like I feel a lot of love for Uncle Buck, but I feel like I have more love for taking down Blues Brothers and
everybody needs somebody to love. Don't forget that.
You're going
to
be brought back. This is going to be like a reality show. We're like, oh, look who's back. It's Molly. Molly Green and Mario Smith are here. We're talking about Blues Brothers versus Uncle Buck and who's going to move on to the Elite Eight, our first matchup of our Sweet 16 in our Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. We'll take our break here. We'll come back and we'll go through the data, get all the texts, and crown a winner that moves on to the next round here on 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio coming up next here on 720 WGN as we are wrapping up our first matchup of our Chicago Movie Cage Match. The Sweet 16 is set tomorrow night. We will have Adventures in Babysitting versus Backdraft. And ooh, you'll have all that. You can go to WGNRadio.com and Facebook. We'll have all that up there. You can vote. But
Backdraft
you can also,
is a really good flick.
I would vote for Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, I like that.
But tonight is Blues Brothers versus Uncle Buck. So let me get to some of the texts here. 773 says, even though I liked Uncle Buck better, and John Candy is a star of that film, in Blues Brothers, the city is the star.
That's right.
So there is a good point if we're talking about the Chicago movie. Justin,
for part of it.
For part of it.
No, the whole movie. Chicago's the star of the movie.
Well, there's a part when they're on the road and they're trying to get that concert going. And
guess what they're trying
they're
to get back to?
They're in the suburbs quite a bit.
Guess what they're trying to get back to? Chicago.
I think there was some, I think it was Wakanda. Somebody mentioned Wakanda earlier. I think it was. They were doing the show and then the speaker, come out to the show. One show only.
They're in the mall. They're in the suburbs.
In Harvey. That mall was so horrible, it was abandoned before the movie was made.
Hmm.
That place was awful.
Justin, Pete, and gang, any movie that uses schmods in
yes,
it,
sir.
State and County Municipal Offender Data System is downright the winner.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Squat. That's a good point, Squat. That's nice what. That's squat. I just watched that scene where we're pulling the clips. What's a schmod?
It's
so good.
It is good.
708 says, Blues Brothers 630 says, I'm trying to base my decision on the cars. Bluesmobile or Buckmobile? It's a draw.
Oh yeah, it's tough.
A Bluesmobile.
Yeah, but the Buckmobile
was dope. Though.
It's like a character, and his hat and his car. Are
his
characters.
Hat is very iconic.
708 says, "I love when John makes excuses to Carrie Fisher in the sewer."
Yes. Oh, that's another great part of the movie. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And 630 says, "Uncle Buck all the way." 847 says, "Blues Brothers forever." 708, "I like Uncle Buck better, but I think Blues Brothers should win because it's more iconic to Chicago." plus the Joliet references.
Yeah, so I think that's just the knee-jerk response that we all feel like we're supposed to have, that we're all supposed to love Blues Brothers, and I think it's basic. It's the Navy Pier of movies. It's the Gino Zeiss deep dish of movies.
It's a deep dish of movies.
And I think Uncle Buck is the more thoughtful, heartfelt choice.
Okay, Uncle Buck is the, hey, gang, let's go to the suburbs and see how they live out their film of all time.
Yeah.
We still have Shanice and the tire store. Yeah.
We
that
also
rivals Blues Brothers.
We also have a wonderful scene where Elwood Blues throws off the Nazis by giving him his address as being Wrigley Field. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Which people are
I have to say maybe the worst part of the movie is that's hilarious, but the Illinois Nazis part
didn't
is,
belong in a movie.
It's just ridiculous.
I mean,
how
I
they
think
continue.
That's where I was like, yeah. what is happening? Going on? But
they fall off the.
Yes.
the Lakeshore Drive's not that high.
No.
But okay, I get the parody.
But hey, man, I hate Illinois Nazis. You can you can say that all day.
All day.
Sorry.
All
day. Love it.
All right. The best scene in Blues Brothers, 301 says, is the bar. We like two types of music, country and
country
Western.
Country and Western.
What do you play here? That's a great.
Hey, we're the good old boys. Yeah. Yeah.
And Uncle Buck is a movie for all ages, and sure. They like Uncle Buck. Yeah. As we wrap up here, this first round, it is interesting because someone said the dissection of Blues Brothers, it's iconic. It celebrates Motown sound, Belushi and Aykroyd at their best. Sorry, thumbs down for Uncle Buck. It's a hard one, and I've heard a lot of people on Facebook today and people who are commenting saying, this is so difficult, and they're all going to be difficult. Yeah. But it is a tough matchup for Uncle Buck to beat Blues Brothers, because what you said.
No, the I idea know I was going, people, I'm going up against Goliath.
Yeah, this is the number one seed. I want to read the results of the poll that was on WGN Radio.
Sure you need to, bro.
Well, you're cocky, but...
my dad just texted me that... if he's flipping channels and the Blues Brothers is on, I keep going. Uncle Buck and I am sucked right in.
Oh,
so I'll take that.
You'll
as
take
a,
that.
Uncle good. Buck is the Shawshank Redemption of 80s movies. You just have to watch it.
You have to watch it. Yeah. The Blues Brothers commanded 80% of the vote to pull 80% to Uncle Buck's just under 20. So not close.
It's something, though, against the Behemoths.
That's
so.
True. That's true. We saw in the first two rounds that the WGN staff did to get Blues Brothers, and I want to read how we got here.
Oh yeah, because that's interesting.
Yeah,
too.
but it was a blowout. The Blues Brothers did not have any. Most people picked in the sample brackets Blues Brothers to go all the way. Blues Brothers beat Chain Reaction as the 16 seed,
which I saw filming on Michigan Avenue.
Did you? And it handily defeated A League of Their Own in the second round.
Movie. I don't think of that as a Chicago movie.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a Wrigley Field kind of vibe to a Chicago. Uncle Buck beat up on Continental Divide in the first round. Then narrowly, and I mean by a couple of votes, beat Barbershop.
Barbershop, man, is an important Chicago movie, too. It did a lot for 75th and Exchange. It got a lot of people working, a lot of people who still work for the city now. Kwame Omoku, the head of the Chicago Film Office, is the brother that's blocking Anthony Anderson and one of the Tate brothers from bringing the ATM up.
This is why it's just so hard. I mean, because really, when you think about it, you're down to the top 16 movies of all time.
That's amazing.
And Barbershop made it, I mean, was this, I mean, really inches from making it to Sweet 16, but was beat by Uncle Buck. So as I wrap up here, based on everyone who was texting, and the calls as well, and the overwhelming poll numbers, it looks as if Blues Brothers, Pete, you agree with me on this one? Blues Brothers is moving on, beating Uncle Buck pretty handily in the first of the Sweet 16 matchups. Do you agree?
Yeah, unfortunately. As I'm an Uncle Buck person, I'm sad to say.
Let's have a race. Can we race down the screen if I win?
No, that ain't happening.
You choose the physical challenge?
You'd win that. I never win anything, so I'm very excited about this. All right, Chicago,
there you go.
Look.
Well, I concede. It was a good fight.
It was fun.
So Blues Brothers wins, and that means Mario will be back in January when we pick up the Elite
Coming
Eight.
Back.
That's right. So, yeah. Molly, thanks
for
playing.
I'm going to stop by Series on my way here, too.
Yeah, there you go. And that's exactly. The thanks for playing, and you'll be back because I'm sure we'll find other ways to make Uncle
Thank
Buck
you,
or to make sure Blues Brothers doesn't make it all the way.
All right.
That makes sense.
Take it down.
That's it for the first of the matchups, the Sweet 16 matchups. Blues Brothers defeats Uncle Buck and will move to the Elite Eight, which will be played out in January. Tomorrow night, we continue with a new matchup, which will be Adventures in Babysitting versus Backdraft. Mario, Molly, thanks for doing this.
We're on a mission from GAD.